We're talking about family as we do on Mondays, and today we want to ponder what it means to be gay and gray in America. One generation of gay Americans is learning what it was like to be the first generation to be fully out of the closet throughout their lifetime. We're joined now by Laura Young, an aging policy analyst at the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. And Brenda Austin joins us. She's a retiree in her late 60s, lives in New York, and has been out of the closet since the 1950s. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Brenda, let me start with you. You've been out of the closet for more than 50 years. Has the world changed significantly during that time?
Drastically.
In what ways? What do you see having changed for gay people?
I feel that people are more accepting today. I feel that we're not the labels are not there as they were many, many years ago. We're not put into little categories. I live in a big development. I find that people want to be friendly. They don't care what a person is. They just care. If you liked, you liked, and it doesn't matter what you are. In fact, I feel that it's sort of fashionable for people today to say, I have a gay friend. And I feel that people are, in fact, I feel a lot of people are very curious. I feel people would like to do some experimenting.
Okay, well, Lori, let me ask you about how that extends to gay seniors. Are there certain challenges that a gay senior would face that straight seniors don't have to deal with?
Yes, there are, and I think a lot of it depends on where they live and how they live. For most part, older gay citizens are 2 times more likely to age alone. We know that we are 4 times more likely not to have children to be around for caregiving. A lot of our LGBT elders worry a lot about not knowing who's going to be there to take care of them as they age. You know, caregiving is something that in this country we rely extensively on family members to be there and provide unpaid caregiving. And for LGBT elders, this is a big concern.
Well, Brenda, let me ask you, she just mentioned a number of things. Are you facing any of these issues that she just talked about?
All.
Every single one of them, twice as likely to age alone, not having children to leave your money or anything else to?
Absolutely. Big concerns, a big worry. She's 100% on target. I have the same concerns. I realize that it's different in rural or urban areas where you live, but the same is true. I worry about being older, and I'm there for people, and who will be there for me. I don't know when I die who to leave my money to. I don't have family. The family that I have is, as each generation goes on and on, each one is concerned with her own. People go to work. They're involved with their children. I don't have children. I don't know who will take care of me. It's a big worry.
But, you know, I heard you sounding a little bit upbeat, Brenda, a moment ago, describing, you know, how things have changed so much and that the sort of culture in your peer group is one of maybe a little experimentation. Does that involve, you know, who goes home with whom as well as how we deal with some of these issues of aging alone?
Well, people can be accepting and they can be my friends, but it's not a substitute for family. And when something happens, people go to their children. They have family. I don't. So in the sense that people accept me is one thing. I can go outside and everyone can be my friend and I can talk to people and they don't care what I am. But when it comes to the critical issues or who will take care of me, that is a big concern.
So, Lori, how do you suggest that people deal with this? Are there ways around those sort of traditional family solutions to these problems?
Well, you know, we have been trying in our community, the LGBT community, have for years been creating families of choice. And we have learned in many ways to take care of each other. And I think that is something that's going to continue as we age. So we have often developed kind of our own caring circles. There are also LGBT aging service programs. SAGE in New York is a very large program that has chapters all over the country where people can go and be part of caring circles and reach out and be in a comfortable environment to get their needs met as they age.
Do you think it is, I mean, as people are becoming aware of this issue, is it getting easier?
I don't know if it's getting easier. Aging isn't easy for anyone, whether they're straight or LGBT. It's a challenge for everyone. One of the bigger challenges for our community actually is that, despite myths, we tend to be poorer than our heterosexual compatriots. And so, as a result, we struggle financially along with everything else to get our needs met.
And that makes
but as
it
I said, there
age.
Are programs now that are starting that are going to make it easier for people to begin to find ways to get their needs met.
Okay, so Brenda, have you sought out any of these solutions to these problems that Lori just talked about?
It's on my mind. It's on my mind a lot. I know that SAGE is a wonderful organization. It is wonderful.
But
what do you think of this idea of families of choice that Lori talks about? Does that have meaning for you?
I understand what she's saying, but for me, I don't have a family of choice. I just find New York is so tremendous, but it's in the gay community, it's very, very small. Everyone knows everybody. It's sort of incestuous. Everybody's been with this one or that one, and everybody knows everything about everybody, which I don't like. There aren't enough places to go to be with your own kind. It's changed. It really, years ago, there used to be clubs that we used to go to, but today there's not so many places to go.
Sounds like there needs to be clubs for the aging as well. Brenda Austin is a retired lesbian in her late 60s. Laura Young, an aging policy analyst with the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force. If you have a story of your own on this subject, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.